Good morning. We're on page 376. We're going to continue the laws of tzedakah, in particular, really, actually, Meiser, to be more exact. And we saw yesterday that there's a minhag, a strong minhag to give Meiser, which means to separate 10% of one's earnings and to give them to those people who are in need. And in terms of supporting, you know, Torah institutions and Lomdei Torah. And if you take a look on page 376, number 13, the Aruch HaShulchan says, what about when it comes to paying for your children's needs? Right? What about your children's needs? And look at the language in 13. Hutzaot banav uvnosav haktanim. You know, your little kids, they need, you know, stuff, you know, food, and clothing, right? Even though we understand this pasuk, and he quotes a pasuk based on Gemara in Ksubis, that person who executes tzedaka all the time, referring to his own children, become. No. Don't think that's not really bichlal tzedaka. Wow. The altsar hadrash amru chazal. It's just a drasha. Klamar de gam ze mitzvah. This doesn't count. He says, tzedaka is referring to something that you need to, meaning in the context of the Gemara, it's not referring to the tzedaka of the 10%, but tzedaka means something that you need to provide for others. If you count the whatever you give your children, you're never going to get to really helping those people who are in need. Okay, wow. So, however, of course, if you skip down four lines, have a megado yasom v'yesoma mishpachto, but an orphan in one's family, or shalom mishpachto vaday shehu tzak gedola v'yachshu zeh mimaos meiser. But to support someone else who is a yasom and who is an orphan, obviously that would be considered tzaka. If you mehuchrach latez edzo tzaka meruba, adain imber v'chasholo kol al koch meiser yachli ten v'lo lavos al smach harevach shevi'acharkach va'az yinakem harevach ma meiser v'yiten lekiso. If you want to give a lot of money that you haven't necessarily earned yet, what you'd be allowed to do actually is you could actually loan yourself money. You're about to take out a loan to help out that person, and then that loan, and obviously the interest, if it's a bank and not a Jew, you actually be able to count from future, deduct it from future earnings. So what the Aruch HaShulchan here is trying to say is that what you have to pay for your children, you'll see why this is very important, it actually does not count towards Meiser. So your grocery bill to feed your kids at home is not going to be able to count. So on this, the Yalki Yosef gives us a very interesting outline. This is really fascinating. Look at this. We saw yesterday that that's not so simple. That maybe you can count what you give your children. After all, tzedakah starts at home, right? So the Yalkut Yosef says a little bit different. 14. Hanohe l'hafrish ma'os ma'iser mimes karato u'mikol revachav. A person who has this minhag, right? Who we separate ma'iser from, you know, whatever you earn. Rasha l'nakos mitamei ma'iser demei. Says Yaakov Yosef, listen, you're obligated to feed your kids under the age of six. After the age of six, then you get a job. He didn't exactly say that, but after the age of six, until they're older, let's say you have a kid at your house who's 20 years old, right? So when I earn money and I give food to my 20-year-old, well, wait a second. Can that count as Meiser? After all, the guy's poor. He has a job. He's in school. Right? So if I'm obligated to feed that kid, that can't count as Meiser. That's a mitzvah. So if the kid is under the age of six, it's my obligation as a father to provide for him or her. That can't count as Meiser. That's my obligation. That's a mitzvah. As we saw yesterday, anything which is a mitzvah can't count as Meiser. But if I'm not obligated, I'm doing it because I'm a nice guy. In theory, my 14-year-old boy, go get a job. If my 14-year-old boy doesn't get a job, but he doesn't have one, so he's poor, and I give him food, maybe that can count as Meiser. That's what he... Can you believe it? Even if they sit around my table and I provide for them, maybe that could count as ma'aser. Fazanas benavim reshav nechshav goset staka b'choleis, says the Yalkut Yosef. Wow, you feed your kids between the age of over the age of six. It can count as ma'aser because you're feeding them. Wow, the Yalkut Yosef is a very liberal approach. Ravelia Yosef, and he says, a wedding, wait a second. Who's paying for the wedding? You're paying for the wedding? That can count as Meiser. Kigon, the Tzorach, Dira, the Rehitim, are paying for them to have an apartment or furniture. Kadeshu, Chuluvinos, Esbisam. Because again, you're obligated to help out your kids for rent? No, it's nice. Since you're not obligated, they can count as Meister, after all.
Can you use your phone Meister on it?
So, I don't know if he says this, I can't remember, but we'll see later on that you should never use your whole Meister on these things. Right, exactly. For Koshukin, Shebenav Mimashichim Lasak B'Torah, Ubekodalim. Now, how much more so if the kids in Kodalim? Or your daughters are married to mechachamim, hashukadim beholash Torah that are mamash, I guess, in kolah. She mitzvah gedolehi lefarnesam bekavod. It is a mitzvah to provide for them with honor and dignity. Ubitztaka gedolehi vakarov karov kodem. You should support some stranger. That doesn't make sense. As we learned, the greatest mitzvah is helping those who are closest to you, helping your family first. How much more so if it's your kids, your in-laws, whatever it is, okay? Wow. So, you see the Orach HaShulchan doesn't necessarily agree. I mean, he doesn't talk about that second half. But in the first half, the kids were over the age of six, writing for them. Now, he doesn't talk, I don't believe he talks about this here, but I will explain this here. But Moshe Feinstein says, not so fast. Why? Wait a second. Over the age of six, you should get a job, and therefore he's poor, therefore by providing for them, it counts as tzedakah. Wait a second. According to the government, somebody who's 7 years old is not allowed to work. Child laws. They can't work. Not only that, we have education. We have an education act. Don't kids have to stay in school till they're 16? So if the government says that the kid has to stay in school till the age of 16... how can you count that as tzedakah? You're obligated from the government to provide. So if the government obligates you to provide, then maybe it can't count as tzedakah.
Then your taxes should count.
What? So when we spoke about our taxes, most money that you give in taxes goes towards healthcare. That's the largest single budget item, right? Is healthcare in Canada. So, I don't know the answer to this.
So,
what percentage of your healthcare? Yeah?
So, you're saying here that at 16, then it might be considered like miser.
So, but after 16.
But what if you're supporting them through private school? Because you have to get them a Jewish education, but the thing is,
right,
it's very expensive.
Okay, so there's two ways to look at school. Because there's an education act, you have to send your kids to school. Well, send your kids to public school. That's free. The problem is, maybe you could argue that it's also to send your kids to public school. Again, obviously there's exceptions.
Yeah.
But let's pretend the average situation that you're not allowed to because you're obligated to mitzvah. So by having them go to public school, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Not only that, but it's anti-Torah. They're going to learn, you know, these public schools are going to teach about, you know, concepts and ideas that are antithetical to Torah values, in which case maybe it's usher to go there. If it's usher to go there, so then you have to go to a Jewish day school. If you go to a Jewish day school, it can't count as meister because it's a mitzvah. That's like this circular logic. Now, that being said, and by the way, there are those who do argue that, the only thing you can say is, okay, fine, but do I have to spend 27 grand? Right? Now, you're going to say, wait a second. And this is the ironic part. The secular part of the day, I have to do, the government tells me I have to do it if the kid's under 16. And the Jewish part I have to do because I can't go to public school. Maybe that's also they're going to, not learn appropriate values, or they're going to be not going to know, Aleph Beis Gimel, right? But so you're going to tell me that the entire tuition? So there are those who say, no, the whole tuition cannot count as my son. But remember that the environment that the kid's in, do you have to have that? Do you have to have, okay, maybe I could be Yotze. What's the bare minimum? Maybe I could be Yotze half an hour a day. And after half an hour a day, it's not a mitzvah, it's just... So the general prevailing minhag, when it comes to tuition, is depends on your income. If you're a guy who, let's say, makes $500,000 a year, which is a pretty good salary, right? Yeah, good salary, what do you think? Good salary, $500,000 a year, okay.
You won't be upset.
You won't be upset, right? And now, 10% of that is going to be 50 grand. Well, here's what's going to happen. If you send your kid, if you have two kids, not a lot of kids, and they go to, they're in high school, which is 27 grand, I think child's 21, or whatever it is, right? So two kids in high school will wipe out your entire Meister obligation once you, they say that's not appropriate, because a guy who's making $5,000 should not use tuition as his Meister. That's not appropriate. Now, if a guy's making $150,000 a year, right, and let's say he's only paying $27,000 for the two kids, right? So he gives $27,000. That's going to be
33%.
A very large percentage of his income. But what's he going to do now? Now he has to then spend another $15,000 on Meister? Impossible. So you can't expect him to do that. That's just not. It's not fair. So then a guy like that can count his tuition as Meiser. And then, but he should still give something to an ani. Right? So what we saw, I think it was last week that we saw, that remember that it's a law that has to do, you only chai for Meiser once you've paid expenses. Right? Meaning, you have to be able to, just so you deduct taxes, okay? So there are certain types of expenses that you can deduct in terms of your income, because you have to function, right? You have to be able to pay for things, and we do live in a expensive. Now, there's no option in Toronto where we live to live in a shack. Like, there's no option. Oh yeah. I can go somewhere that I can pay, $1,000 a month in rent. So it doesn't exist anywhere. So, like, within, 400 kilometers from here. Actually, maybe in Buffalo. You probably could go somewhere for, maybe, I don't even know if you could. So, okay. Fine, let's go on.
Most people are paying, not paying $27,000. Right. Most people have subsidies and stuff. So someone who pays 27,000 shouldn't count as my son.
Okay, so because then you're helping other people.
That's why it's so expensive.
Yes. No, you're right. Although they argue that's not the case. They argue that they just take, the cost of, here's the budget of the school, that's $10 million, and we have 100 kids. So every kid has to pay $10,000, do I have it right? Okay, so, but it's not. No, sorry, not 10. Yeah, 10,000. No, 10,000, 100 kids would be only 1 million. Sorry, remember I said 10 million would be, wow, that's a lot of money for tuition. If I have a budget of $10 million and I only have 100 kids, I'm in big trouble, because my tuition would then be, what's 10,000 times 100? It's not enough, there's like 1 million.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be $100,000. Sorry. Then big trouble, right?
Nice.
So.
Good school.
I don't know, they serve gold or something. I don't know. Like, you don't need a budget of 10, you don't need a budget of 10 million for 100 kids, right? So, that's just to show you the numbers don't make sense. That I should, then the school shouldn't exist because it's not feasible, right? It's not going to run properly. So, okay. So that's when it comes to, so what we say when it comes to tuition, the general consensus is, look, you need to be able to, you don't count all of it towards tuition. But depending on a person's situation, you can count, especially the world we live in, a very large portion of it. Right? Otherwise, you're not going to be able to function. Right? It's not going to work. So now, that's also why we try and calculate not 10, as we said before, should I do 11%, just in case of that extra 1% that you can, think about it. I think my bill this year, with all the subsidies, my full bill with no subsidies, zero subsidies, would have been $102,000. Right? Right? That's after tax dollars, right? That's a lot of money. So if you're lucky and you only have to pay two-thirds, right? So that's a big subsidy. Two-thirds is considered a very big subsidy, right? That's still $66,000. That's two-thirds, right? So, okay. Let's go on to 15. So, you have to only deduct ma'aser from your profits, from your salary, whatever, also if it's a gift. So, says the Pnei Halacha, mitzvah latayim ma'aser ksefim chala al kol kesef shegeladam, on cash. Doesn't matter if it's kesef that you get in Yerusha, kesef that you get from a salary, or kesef that you get because you bought and sold something, or money that you get from a gift, a Hanukkah gift, a birthday gift, those things you'd have to, wedding gifts, you'd have to give ma'aser on, or chavirim, or friends that give you a gift, or all those things basically you'd have to give it on, but not on possessions, right? If someone buys you a microwave for your wedding that costs $100, you do not then have to give $10 on that to tzedakah because it's only about cash.
What if you pawn it?
No, so if you pawn it, then there's cash and you sold it.
How long do you get gift cards?
Gift cards are cash.
Even though they're to store it?
Like
certain stores. Let's say right. $100 to Bed Bath and Beyond.
Right. Right, so that's not cash. No, so that's not cash. So that you'd actually not have to give it stuck on because it has no cash value. I mean, it has cash value in the street, just like a microwave has cash value in the street. But they're really essentially getting your microwave, but they want you to get it yourself. Right? Meaning, you can't use that money to pay for food. That's what it comes down to. Right? You can't use that money to pay rent. It's like a $200 gift card from Best Buy. You're not paying rent or you're not eating dinner with it.
So. You can buy AirPods now.
Yeah, well, this is AirPods and then you're fine. So, I don't have AirPods.
You don't need food.
So,
you don't need stock, huh?
There's one of the things that he does not deal with when I was reading this over the other week. He does not deal with a topic that I think is very important. And again, I don't know why it's not here. I mean, I realize he can't include everything. But there's one area, and this is something which I think I alluded to last week or 2 weeks ago, but it's worthwhile mentioning this morning. And that is sometimes we need to do things and contribute to them, not because of tzedakah, but because we're obligated because of hana'ah. Let me explain what I mean. Shul, what about, everyone asks this question, what about, let's say, and this applies to school too, this is why it's worthwhile talking about now. Giving money to a school, you're also benefiting from it, right? Your kid benefit. So in many ways, you need to pay tuition, not because of Meiser, but because you're benefiting, right? So just like you go to Starbucks and you get a coffee, you have to pay for a coffee, not because it's tzedakah, for sure not tzedakah, right? But you're benefiting, get to pay for something. So with that, everyone asks about, what about this building? What about shul membership? Right? Well, shul membership, is that, what do you think? Would that be considered stuck? But you're benefiting from it. So you're obligated to pay for things because you benefit. So if you benefit from a shul, you need to pay for shul. Otherwise, it's called stealing. Right? Let me extrapolate to one of the most popular areas that you use and you benefit from, and not a lot of people contribute towards. That's called the Eruv. There's an Eruv that costs money. Well, who's paying for that? So the Eruv is something which you benefit from once a week, right? And how many people actually contribute money towards it? Now, giving money to the Eruv, you need to do so because you're benefiting from it. It's like Starbucks. right? You're benefiting. So you need to pay. Now, if you want to tell me, okay, I'm not benefiting the Erev, I'm not going to carry it anymore on Shabbos. Fine, you're right, you don't have to pay. Then giving for sure would be totally stuck up because you'd recognize you need in a community, right? A mikvah, right? Women's mikvah. Mikvah just in general. Well, I don't need a mikvah for. I'm not going, I'm not married or whatever, right? I don't need to give. Hey, it's worth having the community. But giving towards certain causes are because you use them, right? So anything which you use, anything which, or what that you used, that's from the community, you should try and contribute towards, not necessarily because of tzedaka, because you're benefiting. Right, okay, you're right. So again, how much? I'm not saying you have to give $100,000 the Erev, right? But you should give 10 bucks the Erev a year, minimum. Then when you have a job, maybe you'll have more, right? But you're benefiting from it. So those are, you know...
But that's not tzedaka, though.
What? Now, it could probably, some of it, say, how much per percentage of the money you give the Erev can count as tzedaka? Probably some, not all. Because you can't count all the money that you give the Erev as tzedaka because you benefit from it, right? So how much you benefit? $5 worth a year? I mean, if you take the Erev cost, divided by the number that use it, you know, it's not that much money, right? So I'm only obligated to pay that amount. Let's pretend it's $5. I don't know what the answer is. Let's pretend it's $5. So I want to give 18. I could count that 13 as my son, but not that 5. Benefit from it.
Interesting. Right? So if someone looks at Elgin, like... Elgin Mills.
There's an Erev?
There's no Erev there.
I thought it goes all the way up now. Did they extend it?
I'm pretty sure there's no Erev.
Okay,
there.
Fine.
It's Evan Sankar lives up there. So okay. Would he have to contribute to that?
So you're right. So again, he would not be obligated. He could count as his full miser because it's helping the community and there's a value to it and that's needed. That could count as full miser. He's not benefiting from it. Although, I think he spends Shabbos in places that do have an Erev, but whatever, every so often.
Western?
No.
He comes here.
Yeah. He uses it. So you're right. Maybe he uses $1 within the course of the year.
So he can give it, like, the weeks he's not there, so he can count it towards...
Right. So organizations that people use, you need to give money towards it, not mitam tzedaka. Mitam usership. So again, giving money to UJA is... So what do you see? UJA is not a real entity. It's a conglomerate. So you want... They give money and they support, UJA supports, I don't know, fighting anti-Semitism. They support Hello. UJA supports, you know, other social benefits and needs. So those are important to the community. Or you can just give directly to those organizations.
So what about giving, like, right, you know how, like, we JIC, Minyan, and things like that?
Right.
What you have to give, right? Because there's no really, there is a cost, like, from the Kiddush and everything like that. But, like, if you don't benefit from the Kiddush and stuff, is there really a monetary value in, like,
okay, so the rule is when it comes to benefiting from minyan. So again, you need a shul. You need a shul. You need a shul to daven in, right? So you'd have to pay for shul that you daven in because you're benefiting from it. So shul membership is an interesting one because there are those who argue shul membership shouldn't count as tzedaka because you have belong to a shul, you have to somewhere, so you benefit from it. What's a shul membership? Let's say $2,500 a year now, right? For full membership. So I think it's like 27, but it doesn't matter, right? So you pay it, I'm benefiting from it. Now, here's a problem. Here's a question. Are you really, you know, is that the real cost? Or really, you have to say, well, listen, $500 a year is what I pay for because I use it. But the rest could probably count as tzedaka, right? So the prevailing minhag, and this was always the minhag among the Jewish people, was that tuition and memberships to shuls don't have them count 100% as maaser, unless you're financially really, you have no choice, like you have to have it count because you just can't afford it anymore, that's one thing. But you should try also to give to aniyim, poor people. So organizations that you benefit from, you should contribute because you have to, because you benefit from them. And then afterwards, you should still give money towards so that you do not benefit from that are there to support the poor and the needy.
Are you allowed to give to...
I'm a student. Probably get what you're saying. Yeah.
Sorry. Are you allowed to give to an organization like Hillel, even if it's...